And now, a Father's Day essay from Kim Johnson.
Spring brings life and death to the wooded hill on which my mother and father live in Augusta County. As the leaves on the trees emerge, they block the view of the Shenandoah Valley below. And although my mother relishes spring, yearly she mourns the demise, albeit temporary, of her view, as, in her words, the green curtain falls around their home and outside their windows, and they are isolated in their emerald world, separated for a time from the valley that they love so much. Another curtain has been falling inside my parents' house for several years now, too, the curtain of Alzheimer's disease. Silently, insidiously, it is descending in the brain of my father. As his body approaches 80 years, his brain is misplacing the content of those years. They are seeping away, pulled out by a tide that will never come in. Alzheimer's does not care that my dad was a mechanical engineer. It has wiped away his grasp of numbers, stretching their figures into lines that tangle and knot in his brain. It has stolen nearly all of his nouns, particularly the names of his children and grandchildren. Recently, when I was visiting, he took my hand and led me to his bedroom, and pointing to a portrait of a 5-year-old girl with glossy brown hair and a headband, he said, "Look, look at, she's cute, isn't she?" "Yes, she is, Dad," I replied. "Do you know who that is?" Silence. "That's me, Dad. Kim, your daughter. This picture was taken when I was a little girl." "That's you? Well, how about that?" Unlike the green curtain of spring that takes a view but gives new life, the curtain of Alzheimer's gives nothing back. This kudzu in the brain invades and hijacks and kills the matter that gives us our essence. It simply means the end. Show over. Well, maybe not. As much as my father has lost, in the losses, there have been small shafts of light that have pierced the falling curtain. The boy, who was abandoned and raised from the age of 5 in a Texas orphanage, learned early how to work hard, and somehow he also learned to be a man of character among the clatter of voices at mealtimes and bedtimes. But learning to show affection? That was difficult for him. I guess there wasn't much tenderness in that orphanage. There weren't enough arms to pull a little boy close. When I was a girl, I longed for him to say, "I love you," and give me soft hugs. The words he simply could not say, and his hugs were brisk and businesslike, as if he were trying to toughen me up. Now, though, he hugs me softly and often, and even likes to be tucked into bed at night when I'm at his house, thrusting his cheek out for goodnight kisses, like a baby bird. And he always, always says, "I love you," when I leave. It's as if we are both children, soaking up the affection. Perhaps it's an encore of sorts before the curtain falls completely. Romanticizing Alzheimer's is not my intent. It is a wretched disease. But I'm choosing to look for the flashes of serendipity, the unexpected grace as we grope in the growing darkness. My mother mourns the loss of her view, her beloved valley, when the green curtain of spring falls. But she comments every year that there is a different kind of beauty in her cocoon of trees, a close, intimate beauty. I do find these moments of beauty now with my dad as well. Tomorrow? I cannot say, but for now, these moments lay gently on me. So the next time I visit him, I will accompany him to the bedroom at his urging and gaze at the photograph of the girl in the headband again. And as I leave the house and wander outside into the trees, I will peer closely, hoping for a glimpse of that little girl and the orphan boy as they stroll through the green curtain, giving hugs and kisses to one another. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you.
My father's house shines hard and bright. It stands like a beacon calling me in the night, calling and calling, so cold and shining across this dark highway where our sins lie untold.
Back after a break with Bob Levicky's invitation to check this out and my conversation with David Jeffrey, JMU's Dean of Arts and Letters, and a man on a mission.